All right, coming up, Grip Mobility is a Boston-based tech company. It's co-founded by Juliet Kayyem. Now, she is the former Assistant Secretary of Intergovernmental Affairs at the Department of Homeland Security in the Obama administration. Now, the company is piloting a ride-sharing safety solution with Uber in Brazil, Uber's second largest market. You know, these rideshare companies have been dealing with the issue of safety for some time now. We started the conversation, Kim and I, by asking her to tell us about Grip Mobility and how it works.
Grip Mobility is a in-car mobile phone technology that aims to increase safety and reduce increase safety and security for drivers and riders in the the shared ride economy. And so what we did is we basically built a standalone app that provides audio and visual transparency in the car. We were licensing it, and then 2020 happened. And like any good startup, we sort of held on for dear life, but really excited that we are now launched with a pilot with Uber in Brazil, where they are testing its capacity because, honestly, drivers and passengers want it at this stage.
And why in Brazil, Juliet?
So Brazil is interesting. So a couple things. I mean, one is they have real driver safety problems. 17 or 18 drivers were killed in a single year. They tend to be a cash economy, so there's just sometimes violence in the car. So what's interesting is we had built the app for rider security. Riders were demanding safety and security in the rideshare. We hear a lot about women and women passengers. But Uber really also saw it as a way to protect their drivers and the people who are driving around. So the app essentially just is downloaded by the driver. It's all optional. The passenger is notified if the ride is being videoed during the ride. We haven't had any passengers reject it, and it's uploaded securely into the cloud, and Uber doesn't have access to it unless there's some complaint or something. And so Brazil is, as anyone reading the newspaper knows, is under stress right now with COVID, but we are excited to help them as they begin to reemerge from, or as we all begin to reemerge from a year in which no one was very mobile.
Talking with Juliet Kayyem. She is the CEO and co-founder of Grip Mobility, a Boston-based tech company. She, of course, was the former Assistant Secretary of Intergovernmental Affairs at the Department of Homeland Security in the Obama administration. You say this is a standalone app,
yeah.
But right now is your relationship just with Uber, and if so, why?
Yeah, so basically, I mean, part of it was Uber was just a natural ally. They are so big. They are very much focused on safety and security now as part of the experience as an Uber driver, passenger. For those who have been in an Uber recently, they have a philosophy: no mask, no ride. And so they're focused on a number of safety and security features. They're basically, their size makes them a natural ally. We had been testing the system with smaller ride shares before COVID. Then the world stopped. We were a mobility company, and so we had to do what many companies had to do, which was just take a deep breath through 2020. We had been in conversations with Uber in early 2020. In fact, my last business trip was to Uber in February of 2020, and then we were able to get the relationship formalized at the end of 2020, and then was just launched in the last couple weeks in one city. But Uber has now extended that to 10 cities in Brazil. So this is beginning to look like a national pilot for Brazil right now.
Juliet, what makes this different from a webcam or a dash cam that's sitting there on a police officer's dash?
That's exactly. So in some ways, the feature is the same, but two things. One is it's not hardware. So it basically aligns with and works with the Uber app so that you can be on – a driver can be on the Uber app, but also that the ride is being recorded. So as anyone who has an iPhone or in Brazil it's an Android knows, if you run FaceTime, for example, all your other apps – go away, right? You can't do both. And so this is just a sort of integration feature. So that's the first, is that it's easy, it's accessible, it's on the phone, which is the very feature that the drivers are using. It's easy to learn. It's free, so you don't have to buy a dash cam. And dash cams are not live stream in most cases. Ours is live streaming. So in other words, we're capturing the ride experience at either the moment that it's happening or if a driver decides to upload later soon after. That then gets to the issue of, so if there's complaints, if there's a law enforcement issue, then after a formal request is made, then that the video is made available. So it gets out of some of the challenges that drivers and riders have had around the he said, she said, that often occurs with a lot of these complaints, and ultimately we hope will deter bad things from happening in cars. We've seen a lot of that happening recently, and also provide evidence should there be any action or complaints.
Talking with Juliet Kayyem, the co-founder and CEO of Grip Mobility in Boston. How does Grip Mobility make money here?
So it's a licensing feature. So right now, Uber did make a pilot investment in the company. We did not seek venture fund. We have survived, survived is the right word, at some stages in 2020 through individual investments from around the country, people who really saw that the next phase of the rideshare industry had to be taking safety and security very seriously, and that also means health security. Think about masking, and some of these countries will have continuing masking rules, and if there's complaints about masking. So it's a licensing feature right now. However, because the pilot is moving so quickly, Uber did invest in our company, and we are working with Uber as it expands in Brazil. We wanted to work in Brazil, future plans with Uber or other companies. You know, part of it is it's being tested right now, so we'll determine in the future. But we have not done any formal venture rounds.
So, Juliet, you've made reference to obviously 2020 being a tough year, but here you are, somebody who is in the midst of a startup. Talk to us a little bit about the. Yeah, right. We'll all agree on that. That's for sure. Talk to us about the climate for startups right now.
So I am so sympathetic to startups. And you have to remember. So I come from, I'm in this world. I'm a Homeland Security expert. I'm on air. I teach at the Kennedy School. So when COVID hits, it's hitting me also as a professional expert. At the same time, I'm trying to keep the company. Once again, in mobility in a year when everything stops. So my basic goal, I had two goals. One was keep everyone on payroll. So we have a global team. I was able to do that. And second is, just extend the runway. So for a lot of young CEOs, that's what I would advise them. You just don't try to change the world in 2020. Just keep extending the runway. And I have to be honest with you. Like, I'm older. I'm in my 50s. The stress I felt, I can't imagine being a 20 or 30-year-old startup CEO. It's just, age gives you a little bit of wisdom and maybe a little bit of patience. By the end of 2020, I think, as the vaccines were starting to get approved, as people started to see that Q2, Q3 might be different, as we're seeing now, then we started to see some movement, not just for us, but as you're seeing, some of these companies, now heading to IPOs and investments seem to be increasing because we're not raising money now. I don't know what that world looks like for startups, but the startups that were able to simply, it was not rocket science, and it may not have been terribly sexy, but just if you could just extend the runway through 2020 and not fall off the cliff as so many companies did, I kept telling people, view that as a success. And you're starting to see money, investments, and projects flow, which is really great.
Talking with Juliette Kayyem, CEO, co-founder of Grip Mobility, Boston-based tech company. Of course, she was the Assistant Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security in the Obama administration. If you could, I mean, there are obvious privacy issues that
yeah.
come up, right? How do you deal with them? And I understand that, you know, the passenger could say, no, I don't want the video. But, you know, can the driver then say, okay, well, you're not coming with me?
Yes. So, I mean, basically how it works is if the driver has downloaded the app, then the passenger, then, you know, a passenger, let's say a passenger seeks a ride, that passenger will be told it is going to be recorded. If the passenger does not want that, and we haven't seen that, Brazil is a different market than other countries, but because of the safety and security concerns, it may be that passengers actually affirmatively want it. If the passenger doesn't, though, they simply reject the ride, no fee, and then the next driver without the audio, without the feature, will be matched with the passenger. But once again, we're not – the polling that Uber had done showed 70 and 80% respectively passenger driver wanted increased security transparency in the ride itself. And I think, you know, that will apply to other countries, women who travel alone, and other maybe more vulnerable populations. So it's all voluntary right now, and presume it's going to be no driver is required to use it, no passenger is required to be in a car that's utilizing it.
And, Julia, what's the goal of the company when it comes to ride sharing? Right now you've said that Uber is an investor. Are you ultimately hoping that Uber will buy this company?
I am so careful with this. So, yeah, so they invested to support the pilot, so I'll be clear here. So it's a commitment through the pilot, which should last through 2021 or at least until through Q3. We are learning so much in such a short period of time about driver behavior, passenger behavior. The technology is working, so that makes me, as a CEO, happy. And I think what Uber is testing out, because as you know, anyone who looks online, Uber is, you know, also looking at dash cams, has other safety and security features, is, you know, what's the menu of features they want to make available depending on which country. So our goal is we have a wonderful relationship with Uber, the team, and remember, Brazil, Uber is the second largest country customer, you know, in terms of customers for Uber. So it's not like it's some random country. It is a big, big market for Uber. And if they like what they see, then it's either, you know, we would love to continue the relationship. We were pleased that they are expanding it to more cities. They wanted to start small. And one of the things that drives me crazy as a CEO, but it's all good, is that the only complaint we're getting, or the major complaint that we're getting from drivers, is drivers trying to access it, but because Uber is doing a rollout with a pilot for different cities, some drivers in other cities who are hearing about it are trying to get on and they can't, because Uber has been pretty aggressive in both advertising this to drivers in the right cities, but also providing them with any assistance they may need with this new feature.
I guess, you know, my question is, okay, so now I'm in an Uber, and in this case I'm in Brazil. I've taken the ride. You have my video. You have my audio. What happens to those images, and what are the storage issues here?
Right. So neither the drivers nor riders have direct access to view the recordings. The recordings will automatically upload to the third party, the Grip Mobility Cloud. And drivers may share the footage with Uber for analysis when reporting a safety incident on a trip. So if a driver says, you know, these either something happened on the trip, the driver can give consent to Uber if Uber needs to determine whether there was some claim or some issue between a driver and a passenger. Uber will not have direct access to the footage unless drivers decide to submit that safety report and authorize Grip Mobility to share the footage with Uber. So Uber has not seen any of the secure footage. So we abide by all of the country rules and then also the industry standards for the sharing of that information. So in some ways to look at it is it's no different than a dash cam, but it's not hardware. and it's free, and it's easily accessible for the for all drivers. And then if something were to happen, then we can step back. We store it for just 30 days. So it's really to deal with the specific complaints. The second thing that we know, just from the polling that we've seen, and certainly driver and passenger behavior at this stage, is the very existence of sort of a third party in the car, right, is makes people feel safer. And there is something to feeling safer, right? I mean, in other words, whether you're a woman alone at night or you're a driver who's worried about, you know, a passenger who just got into a car, there is the sense or the feeling of transparency also, we hope, will have a deterrence effect, but also gives peace of mind to drivers and passengers, which ultimately, I think, benefits all of us as we finally get moving again.
And Julia, can this kind of technology, can it be used in any other way? Are you guys exploring that idea?
Well, right now we were really focused on mobility because of the challenges that the industry had. And then there's mobility across many, you know, there's trucking, there's, you know, honestly, there's cannabis mobility. There's all sorts of new product lines that we are thinking about. There's also populations that are that may want more safety and security. Those of you who remember the trajectory of Grip Mobility is, you know, we had started off as a rideshare for kids in Massachusetts under a different name, but then realized we had built this great technology that would be of more interest. So right now we really are focused on a really difficult challenge in the mobility and transportation industry, and think we provide a really smart, safe, cheap, and efficient solution that is working well in Brazil right now.
Juliette Kayyem, she is the co-founder and CEO of Grip Mobility, a Boston-based tech company. Thanks for taking time and joining us on Bloomberg Base Tech Business.
Well, thank you both for having me.